Welcome to What the Fuck?
Just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to affect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. All right. Welcome to another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales Marketing Edition. I am your co-host, Danny Wolf.
And I am the willing and slightly confused cohort because I just read an email while I was actually listening to this.
We multitask on this podcast.
God, yeah. Obviously everybody here knows what the hell is going on. And I was actually surfing through some of the LinkedIn ones and a new one just caught me and I hit the WTF button. Oh my gosh, I swear. I need more than a cup of tea at this hour of the bloody morning. If I'm going, yeah, what the fuck Wednesday? We have feisty Fridays and what the fuck Wednesdays. I'm liking this. I have a manic Monday.
I feel like we should make a what the fuck button. And like whenever you read one, it does some kind of like cool animation or like, I don't know, like
oh no
taser
oh no no
animation
no, no.
or blood squirting. I don't know.
You know the stop buttons, that you remember the big red button of Doom or whatever? Can we just find somebody that can we just get a whole bunch of what the fuck buttons like made? How much would that cost and where the hell do we get them from? I want to do it. You know what? We should do it to people that come on. We need to get them like mounted on a plinth or something like that. the people that actually want to come on and be like part of the podcast. All right, I'm doing it. I'm taking it as a task. I'm making what the fuck buttons.
I love this.
That's happening.
This is the fun part of the project, is thinking of creative ways to
all the high tech shit. I picked this one up. I was heading over to Israel. I love my Mont Blanc stuff. So I'm a sucker for nice writing materials and their things, and so.
Noted.
Long stuff. So hang on, WTF. We need a WTF button.
And while you're writing that, and speaking of all the housekeeping stuff we got to get out the way, I published an audio event link. So for those who are on, let me see, I'm multitasking. I'm getting lost in
the process. You got people on the audio stream that should be on the video stream.
I gotta redirect people from the audio to the live stream. I created two events. I was so excited for this week. So I just like went by default. Hopefully those who are on the old event link are now on the new event link.
Now, what did I post on the LinkedIn post? Did I put the right link on?
Yeah,
no.
You put the right link, which was the old link at the time. And I published about 3 hours ago. A new link. Don't ask why I was up at an ungodly hour, but that's for another.
Actually, I like the Melissa. I was actually thinking a different type of button, but I like the button as well, though. So, because to me, when I think about button, it's those big. I don't have one. Do you remember the big like the stop one used to bang? What was it?
Yeah.
Stop or whatever the heck it used to have on it.
Yeah.
But I like the button. I can do a Hebrew one. We'll have to.
There are a lot of ways.
What Hebrew is? What the fuck? I've got a pretty good idea.
There are a lot of ways to express what the fuck in Hebrew. So we got to figure out the best
Speaking
version
of Hebrew. Sorry, squirrel moment for a second. Did you see the shit show that's currently going on over in that neck of the woods?
Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I like the shit show that is happening and was happening even when I was there back in April and prior. Yeah. It really got to me. I mean, it really caused a lot of anxiety for me. It brought up a lot of like mixed emotions. It was really, really hard to handle for me. Saw a lot of divide between our people, and it was just really, really frustrating. It's nice to be far from that, but it's very painful to see that there's still a lot of like turmoil amongst our people.
Huge, right? So you know what was interesting to read? I read a BBC article yesterday about it. And what I liked about it was, look, hey, we're divided. You know, we're divided. We're, you know, typical Hebrew Jewish side of the world. We're arguing about everything. But if anybody from the outside comes and fucks with us, we reunite and face them as a united nation. So that gave me hope, because there are a lot of people in the reserves and the guard who are like, hey, I'm not going into training. I'm not going in to do this. But the caveat was, should somebody try to take advantage of it from the outside, we are there, you know, day one. So it's interesting. Yeah, Bruno said missing the shit shows. I do too, to some degree. You know, Ryan, Evan, and I are doing different things these days. And to some degree, I actually wouldn't mind doing something similar to that. But we'll see. We'll see how that works out maybe one day. All right.
We have a little shit show going on the show, so let's get into it.
Yeah,
I want to kick off the show talking about. Before we kick off the topic, and then the teardown for the veteran OG listeners and the new listeners. If you have any questions, pop them over to me or in the chat. We'll address that towards the end of the show. We're open to bringing you on as well. I would be happy to get any feedback from you, give you feedback as well. This is the whole point of the show. All right, let's dig into it. I'm going to bring up the flow. Let me bring up the flow real quick. I want to talk about emotions, specifically emotional drivers to some of our decisions. And it's funny because this topic actually came up from feedback I got from our last validation panel that we ran over in Anaheim. The client felt that the logical or the rational decision criteria are interesting, and we cover that frequently on this podcast and in the Audience First podcast, but framing some issues around the non-rational decisions could be very, very valuable for them and for those on this call as well. So are we ready? I want to interview you on emotional drivers, Chris.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. And before we dig into the questions, anything you want to open up with regarding this topic, because we did kind of noodle on it before we hopped on this call?
Yeah, I mean, there's some stuff going on at the moment, you know, both inside Boom and just inside life in general. I think it's one of those things when you talk about emotional, how that translates within an organization. I think it's always interesting. And it's actually a post. I'm putting the post out on LinkedIn in like the next hour. Probably when we're done here, I'll hit the send on the post. And I think it's one of those where as a CISO, and having done this on a regular basis and then VCISO stuff, you know, life ties into this as well. And it's a very, very tough one, because unfortunately on the other side of the fence, from the sales and marketing side of the fence, you typically don't know what the hell your CISO's going through, aside from maybe what you can glean. Again, if you take the time to look at their posts, their social media, whatever else, you can't necessarily glean everything on it. So it's always a rough one, especially if it's an organization. Boom's a perfect example. You know, we are pre-revenue, we're building an airplane. There's a shit ton load of stress involved in that. There's a ton of stress involved in obviously raising revenue, of building engines and all the other stuff that goes with it. So there's a ton of palatable stress within the organization because we're growing and how we do that effectively. So it isn't just the CISO role and what the CISO is doing. You know, a lot of us are very heavily involved in what the living, breathing organization itself. And so those considerations definitely have to go into play. So go for it. Hit me up with a question.
I love it. That's a really nice opening to a great segue. So, I mean, you talk about the stressors, you talk about the worries. What are some of those worries and fears that you have when it comes to making decisions about your organization's security posture and maturity and risk, right? We'll break it down into the organization at Boom and also the industry itself, because I know you have some feelings about that as well.
I think the organization at Boom is an easy one. Mm-hmm. Easy one. It is actually an easy one. You know, it's ironic. You know, the what keeps you up at night is absolute bullshit. Mm-hmm. But what makes me fret and concerned is making effective decisions. You know, if you think about it, my job is to understand risk and look at probability. So risk is simple. Are we potentially under attack? Yes or no? Yes, there's the easy one on that one. Now, what is the probability of that occurring? How often is it likely to occur? you know, what is going to occur, that is something I have to try to figure out, because I need to make valid business decisions on that. You know, I can't just go, you know, well, here's where we go from. And it's, so I think I put a post out on this one, and I was actually going to see if I can actually just quickly find it. And it was, oh, I know what it was. It was that this idiot was out biking the other day in a thunderstorm. Yay, idiot. So the very quick one on the problem. So risk refers to the potential loss or harm, the possibility that something bad will happen, often used in context of decision making. Probability refers to the likelihood of an event. So risk is a very simple conversation to have, because is something risky doing? Getting out of bed's risky. Staying in bed's risky. You're screwed either way. Now what you need to do is take a look at that risk and go, what's the probability of something like that occurring? And for us, there's always a risk within Boom that an attack will occur, or an attack is occurring, or an attack has occurred. And then you've got to start taking a look at the probability. And I think one of the biggest concerns I have is, what did I miss?
Yeah.
You know, it's not what am I seeing? You know, again, I'll give a shout out for NewSpy. NewSpy gives me really freaking good eyes. Okta gives me really, really good eyes. Some of the other tools and tech that we have that I won't mention on here give me really good eyes. But what am I missing? What did I forget about? What did I not know about? What happened that I didn't capture? What haven't I gotten to yet? Because again, as a CISO, a fucking laundry list like this, shit ain't going to happen tomorrow. So my job is to knock down bits and bits and bits and bits and bits and bits of, yes, can I buy the Mac at the top left of your screen? Absolutely. Make a sensible offer and DM me and I'll send it to you. It is working, by the way. But then it comes down, I'm getting rid of a bunch of my crap. Again, you know, shedding stuff. So it comes down to, how much do I let that worry me? You know, how much do I have off some of that worry? I mean, I've got an amazing team at Boom. So how much do I look at Tara and go, and you can worry about governance, risk, and compliance? I look at Brad and go, and you can worry about my corporate stuff. I look at Justin and go, and you can deal with my avionics. Do I trust the team that I have in place enough? Same thing with like Jeff and all the other folks that are on that side of it. Do I trust that team enough to lower that worry? Absolutely. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing my freaking job. But I'm still concerned. And then, you know, it's that little one. You train. No different, to be perfectly fucking honest, no different than when you're in the military. You know, it's crawl, the general action from the military. Crawl, walk, run, dry fire, live fire. And we do it in that order so you get used to shit. You learn to crawl. I go do my drills. You know, you learn to walk. I learned how to handle a gun. You learn to run. You learn how to handle it properly. Dry fire is dry fire. Live fire is stick your head up. It's getting shot. You do that. So then when you go into field and you go into theater, when somebody starts shooting, number one, the plans typically change. But number two, you don't get up and run around like a headless chicken. But shit happens. So it's, it is always that, how much of my training takes over? How much of my instinct takes over? How much do I just rely on muscle memory? And when it comes to the CISO role, when something happens, what are the concerns? Yeah. How do I instinctively deal with that? I mean, we had an incident the other day, and luckily nothing major, but it was another one of those. It was triage time. You go from the oh shit to on one hand, you're like, okay, let's triage this. And in the back of your mind, you're like, are we fucked? Until you get to the point where like, we're not. And then you validate the hell out of that we're not statement. And you go, okay, this is what happened. Great, we're in good shape. So that's a huge emotional roller coaster.
How do you though navigate that roller coaster? Like how do feelings or intuition guide you to handle the fear of missing something? Does that make sense?
I think it's a bit of it's an internal argument with myself. I think because I mean I care. There are a lot of CISOs who care. There are a lot of CISOs, unfortunately, who are in it just for the money, the prestige, something like that, and then also just to be at the role. The post I'm putting out pretty much so sums it up. I handle it because I counter argue myself, and then I also have to have a level of trust in what I've got in place. So on one hand, you've got to keep looking in the mirror and going, I won't be able to fix everything. You've also got to look in the mirror and go, I can't fix everything today. You also have to take a step back and go, what have I put in place? that I can stand up and go, we did the best we could with the time that we had, the resources that we had, and the partners that we picked. And, you know, that's another one as well on that one. That's another biggie, is you always have to go into the other big concern is, did I pick the right partner? And how quickly can I discover that, find it out? And how quickly could I turn around and go, nope, didn't pick the right partner. And you cut and run, basically. Mm-hmm. So I think part of it is, it's no different. Again, it's no different than climbing. If you use climbing as an example, I hate heights. I fucking hate the damn things. I have found myself numerous times halfway up a cliff, talking myself out of the potential, you know, the potential risk or the potential probabilities of me falling to my death. Mm-hmm. But I trust my gear. I trust the placements I make. You don't just make one placement or two, you make a tertiary of placements. So I trust the gear, I trust my placements, I trust the equipment, I trust the people that made it, I trust the fact that I've double, treble checked myself and continue to. And I think it's the same thing within this industry. You know, we have a managed security service. So I trust the fact they have eyes on it. I trust the fact that they're doing what they can do. I trust the fact that we've put everything critical in it. I trust the fact that my partner's got my back. And I trust the fact that if I have missed something, that I've got other tools and technologies that should capture it further down the line.
So we're going to jump around in terms of order, because you're talking about trust, you're talking about relationship with vendors. Are there certain emotional triggers that sales and marketing teams, and for those listening in today on the pod, can effectively use to capture your attention or interest?
In a negative way, absolutely. There's way too many. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of them do. I was on the LinkedIn, the post I put out yesterday, the Ali one. Somebody hit a really, really good one, which was when that vendor says, basically, the vendor accuses you of not paying attention because you don't spend time with them. Apparently, you don't care about security. I'm like, I have abject hatred for that, because now you are questioning and calling my core into, you're calling my core into question. And I never react well to that. Now, could somebody play on the positive side? Absolutely. I think that's where that trust comes in. It's that mm-hmm. validating trust thing. And this goes back to this. I'm never going to buy something on that first email. I'm never going to be interested if you try to sell me anything on that first email. That first message into me needs to speak to an empathetic, the longest list ever. Because I'm so fucking right. I'm more vocal about what pisses me off. I think that's maybe what it is. For fuck's sakes, I mean, if I put it out there, at least.
I do want to interject and ask, because you've been a lot more vocal about what's pissing you off. I feel like, at least in terms of the vendor buyer relationship side, because we've been working together for a while.
Yeah.
By the way, 25 episodes, that's a milestone. Woo. Have you seen any kind of change in how people are approaching you or what they're saying with regards to your vocal?
Ooh, yes, and no.
Okay.
Yes and no. So yes and no. Okay, so the no is you still have people that just plow fucking straight in. Mm-hmm. I got it yesterday. I mean, they plow straight in, blind as you, just like, fuck it, I'm going to go for it. Hell or high water, you know, and they end up getting caught in 10 loads of crossfire. And at this point, I'm literally just cutting and pasting one of three or four posts to them. There are a couple who apparently have read or listened to this and take the first sentence and change it and then keep going with the same stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you muffin. You listened, but you didn't pay attention. You know, maybe you listened, but you're doing six other things at the same time. So you weren't active listening, people. There's a difference between fucking active and passive listening. On this shit, you need to active listen.
I'm gonna link to my post about active listening. Ooh. while you're chatting.
I'm doing an Udemy thing. An Udemy course on active listening.
Yeah.
In fact, I got a couple of them lined up for me. I think there are a couple there's a couple of folks that maybe have listened, although there's one that pissed me off, and it was a little frustrating because, again, they came in relatively blind as a bat. I gave them some feedback, and then their answer was, and I actually captured it in the post, their answer was, where the hell was it? I knew I had to try again or something fucking ridiculous like that. Where the hell was it? Where the hell was the stupid thing? I've got to find it. Give me half a second.
No worries, we're good.
Platform. There we go. Okay, I have to try one more time. And I actually sent a message back, and I was relatively civilized. I'm like, no, you don't, because that pisses me off. I'm like, I already made my point clear to you. I already explained to you where we are. I mean, this is like fucking dating. I have a, you know, it's like, how many cheesy one-liners does one person have to put up before they whip out the taser and get the person? You know, I think it is that. I mean, this is not speed dating. And I think that's exactly the Kristen things. No, you bloody don't. I mean, that's basically what I put. You know, you already pissed me off. This is just going to do nothing. Oh, I know what hit me up as well. Again, LinkedIn post, I was out there and somebody said, hey, would a bottle of whiskey, you know, tempt you? I'm like, no, I'm not going to get bribed. And then no kidding, like an hour or two later, somebody hit me up and said, hey, can we exchange a bottle of whiskey for 15 minutes of your time? And I'm like, oh, you motherfucker, you just didn't listen.
Yeah.
And to their credit, I mean, they backed off and they said, hey, no disrespect. I wanted to value your time. I'm like, look, you value my time by bringing honesty, integrity to a conversation and trust and that stuff. That's how you value my time. You don't value my time by trying to bribe me.
Oh, that's so good, by the way. An episode on security buyer pickup lines. Yes.
Oh.
we'll do that.
Oh, my gosh. That's a little.
Great idea, Anthony.
We when we should do that. That needs to be the episode that we do live from Black Hat in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Security pickup lines live from Black Hat. Oh, hell yeah. Because I'll have spent the day walking around the expo and I'll be ready to kill people.
That's good. Well, no, that's not good, but that's good. Okay. So I love this. I want to revert back to the question that tied into what we were talking about before. Can you give me an example of a specific time when a vendor's kind of values or their mission statement resonated with you emotionally and influenced your purchasing decision? Leave technical aside, right?
Yeah, no, it's and I mean, you know as well as I do, it rarely is it. Sometimes it's a technical consideration, but more often than not, it's much more of a human consideration. I mean, I want to be very careful because I don't always want to talk about, it's a balance because I don't always want to talk about what we have installed at Boom because I don't want to lay out the roadmap for anybody to be able to break in, but I'll use the one that everybody knows about. Let's talk about NewSpire.
Yeah.
For me, that was absolutely a relationship, a trust, and an positive emotive based purchase. Because what was brought to the table was a human. What I didn't get brought to the table was the company. And ironically, when we first looked at the company, Jeff came back and was, I wouldn't say negative about it, but definitely brought some challenges. So NewSpire's not had an easy run of it. They've done a bunch of stuff in a lot of like the automotive dealership space. So they've cut their teeth very, very well in that. And I mean, unfortunately, in those games, you just put a device in and typically it looks after itself. 43 male cyber. Yeah, probably 52 male cyber. By the way, we're painted nails as well now just to fuck around with people. Yeah, I was getting a pedicure because of the neuropathy in my right leg and my right, the bottom half of my right leg. I got told by the doctors, he's like, now's a good excuse to go get a pedicure because then they can check out if there's any cuts, bruises, because I can't feel, I've lost a bunch of feeling in it. And so that's their way of checking. At the same time, she's like, do you want a manicure? I'm like, fuck it, why not?
Yeah. Anyway,
we digress. So let's go back to the conversation. So first and foremost, you go back to that human has to get past the barrier, first and foremost. So now we're looking at the trust. Now we're looking at a conversation relationship. Great. Now I've done my validation. I handed that relationship to the team and I said, hey, do me a favor, do some checks and balances. And Jeff came back and was like, hey, I have something against NewSpire because basically in their history. There were some commentary in like Reddit channels or something like that, where they were accused of basically being a bit of a rinse and washing machine when it came to people coming in and out of the sock and knock. So I grabbed that and I actually sent it off. I think not just to Maria, but I think we sent it off to senior leadership and said, "Hey, do me a favor. This got brought up in due diligence. Help me understand it." What I loved and what probably sealed the deal was that they didn't refute it. They didn't blame people. They didn't blame angry users or angry ex-employees. They said, "Yep, they owned the problem." They said, "Yeah, this is what happened. This is why it happened. This is how it happened. And this is what we've done to address it. And this is how we do and go forward." That is so different than so many other companies who go, "Oh, that was just a bunch of pissed off employees, and we fired them because of A, B, C, D, E, and F, and G, or whatever the hell it might have been." They were like, "No, we had issues, and here's why, and here's what, and here's how we remediated it, and we're more than happy to get on the conversation and have that." That, to me, I think was one of the best ways of taking my, "Huh, I was okay, now my stress is up here because one of my team has found something that I didn't." And then it comes back down again because I'm like, all right, they've actually owned their problems, because no fucking company is perfect. It's how you deal with your problems. And so that was great. So sent that back to Jeff, and Jeff was like, "All right, let's give him a shot." I'm like, "Great." So then we brought him in, and then not only did Maria and her like core team turn up, but what I loved about it is I got introduced to a bunch of other people inside the organization, and not random introductions, but introductions at a human level.
Right.
And so that, to me, brings a couple of different things. It brings safety, because we're all moving around on a regular basis. You know, if Maria suddenly decides to say to hell with it and go work for CloudStrike or somebody like that, I don't want to feel like I've lost the key individual that I know over there. And I still have, you know, a list of 5 or 6 people that I keep in contact with that I know I can still rely on to maintain the level of relationship that I have. I also know if Maria is off, and let's face it, where people are allowed to take time off, I still have 3 or 4 other people I can talk with. My team are dealing with stuff. In other words, it isn't, "Hey, let's just keep Chris the CISO happy." What I love about it is the team engages with my team. So Brad is happy about stuff. Tara gets the stuff she needs. The IT team gets the stuff they need. Our physical get the stuff they need. The team is taken care of. It isn't just, "Let's keep the CISO happy and shovel shit at everybody else." So now my level of concern, stress, and emotive issue are even further down, because I know my team is being taken care of. So that protector part of me realizes that it isn't just keep Chris happy. It's less work. And then what I love about it now is now we have a relationship where we are giving them feedback on. I mean, we've had like a working, it's almost like a design partner relationship. But they are a large organization. So what I like is we give a bunch of feedback and things happen. So as we look at threat intel, as we look at other things, that relationship ebbs and flows as any relationship should. So yeah, it's a big difference.
I love that. You talked about your team. I want to talk about leadership, though. Can you recall a time when you had to push back against senior management or board members' suggestions internally because of instinct or gut feeling? Instinct or gut feeling?
Yeah, probably when I first started at Boom. Absolutely fantastic. So first started at Boom, I turned up, you know, day one. And like day 14 was the very first board meeting that I was going to have. And so, you know, I turned up, you know, mid-cycle board meetings turning up, and it's me for crying out loud. And so they know me well enough by reputation. They've already had a couple of complaints come in about me from external companies. So the board's already on, should we say, tender hooks a little bit. And so I turn up and I've been given all this coaching and everything else. And, you know, I've done board meetings for fucking years, for God's sakes. But it was an interesting new board, new people, new thoughts, new ideas. But it was really interesting because I walk in and, you know, the first conversation is like, "Yeah, what are you going to do to protect us?" And I'm like, "I won't." And you could tell that it was like, "What the fuck?" And I'm like, "If I ever tell you I'm going to protect you, I failed at my job and you need to fire me immediately." I said, because that word doesn't exist in my vocabulary. I said, if you're hearing this from your other boards and you're hearing this from your other CISOs, then something's wrong. Then it was the conversation of, well, you know, this is how we've seen things done at our other companies that we're on boards of. I'm like, and that's not how we do things here. And I explained why. And that was definitely a struggle because, you know, they'd come into this. They'd not had a CISO before. Charles had done an amazing job of like laying all the groundwork as to how IT and tech works. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely, they had preconceived ideas about how they felt that I should report to them and how they felt that as a board level, this is what we expect and this is how it is. And to me, it was like, nope, my preference is to do things very, very respectful. My preference is to do things very, very differently. And here's why. Mm-hmm. So there was definitely some back and forth because a couple of the board members were coming from much larger organizations, retail organizations, some other bigger ones, but like, well, you know, this is how we get presented. And I'm like, well, that sucks. I want you engaged. I want you involved. I want to come to you with how I would like to do things. And I want you to challenge me in a way where we go forward much more respectively, much better. So it was actually a really, really good, but that took some pushback. And thankfully, touch wood, we're a year and a half down the line. We've moved the bar so far that now the conversations are, can I come and have a conversation with their other companies and help them explain how to fucking do it properly? Mm-hmm. So, but that took some, definitely some pushback. And you get the same thing. And we get the same thing all the time. Somebody just came up to us and because they have a relationship with somebody very, very senior at one of the cloud providers, they're like, well, do you really need to be doing this? And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sakes. you know, here's why, here's this. So it's always that balance between playing go fetch on results and answers as to why we're doing certain things versus just telling people to mind their own business. My preference is always to try to do a little bit of a go fetch only to a point because I'm like, if it's now going to impact my deliverables and what I'm doing, then we have a problem. Then it needs to be a conversation where all three of us sit down and figure this shit out.
I love it. Let's talk about emotions from any messages that came in this week. The teardown. We are moving forward to the teardown and the buildup.
Shall
we cherry pick? I have one, by the way.
I'm listening. Let's go with yours because I got a couple. I got some specials.
For those of you who don't know, there is an email. I think it's Danny at WTFDidIJustRead.com. And a bunch of security folks send me spam messages. And I got one this week from a good friend, Brad. Let's open it up. He had mentioned... Oh, he has a positive report too. Hold on. Let me open it up. Brad. Okay. Jeez, hold on. Hold on, folks. Oh, title. This is odd. Danny got hit up by two different inside salespeople with the same pitch. Kind of weird how similar the profiles look and even their headshots are alike. So we have two folks who have who look semi-avatar-ish. I don't know if they're real or not. But they have the same kind of like LinkedIn headline, you know? What do you call it? Like, you know, you could put the title, not your title within your profile itself, but the title under your name so that when you look top level, you see like, founder, CEO, CISO at Boom Supersonic, you can kind of edit your title. You know what I'm talking about?
LinkedIn?
In LinkedIn, yeah. So they both have the same title, but it's like spreading cybersecurity awareness through engaging animated videos, talks about hashtag cybercrime, hashtag cyber protection, hashtag security, hashtag. And these two, I think they're avatars really, because it's exactly the same. And I asked him, did they send you the same pitch? And he said they sent very similar pitches on LinkedIn, which was very odd and shady. Could be avatars. We talked about avatars, I think like 10 or 12 episodes ago, using those at in mass scale to mass outreach.
Yeah.
Big no-no.
Oh,
big red flag.
Well, you know, the not just avatars, but also, I mean, are we talking about like basically fake accounts?
Fake accounts.
Ooh, yeah, we had that one because I worked for a company where they had one of those and that really fucking pissed me off.
Do you look at the titles, like what people write, like when someone outreaches on LinkedIn, like what they do, not within the profile, but you can, again, you could see underneath.
So even on all the connections I have, unless it's somebody I know or who's known by me or I've got a pretty good idea about, I will click through and look at their profile. I'll scan through the profile.
Yeah.
And just see if it matches up. Because there are some that absolutely match up. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And there are others that I'm like, you know, please explain this one to me. This is why I love when people put a message with their LinkedIn profile. That makes me a lot happier.
When connecting.
Yeah, when they're connecting, because at least that way I feel like at least there's a bit of an insight as to why the hell you're connecting.
Yeah.
You know, I think I just got another one. For fuck's sakes. Stop saying, okay, you send it an email. Okay, this again. Okay, you want to talk about stuff that pisses me off. I'm like, I got another one. It's like, he must have cut and pasted it from email into LinkedIn. It's like, pick a fucking platform. I don't need it on both. Mike, I don't need it on both.
Know your audience, customized message based on context for not just the person in the audience, but the channel. That's huge.
Yeah. I'm just, dear Mike, you just appeared on the fucking live stream of what the fuck did I just read? yeah, no, I think it's one of those. Oh God, no, please don't tell me about another one.
I've been getting a lot lately, by the way. I've been getting a lot on LinkedIn lately. The past month has been freaking ballistic.
Yeah, I don't know what the smeg is going on. There's so much. There's so much. I mean, thankfully, Block and Other are ridiculously useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough now because the biggest ones for me is when they're tugging on like the heartstrings. So perfect example, Merlin Ventures was in town last week, and it was actually really, really useful because there are a couple of companies there that I actually wanted to talk with, and so I did. You know, we did speed dating thing, and I'm going to catch up with a couple of them like next week, and then at a blackout, very brief, like 30 minutes when I'm sitting down at a blackout. But you know, there are so many who reach out and go, hey, I'd love 30 minutes of your time to just get your insights as a CISO. You want to help because, again, as a CISO, you want to help people. You want to go, okay, hey, look, I can, that's what my Friday afternoons are for.
Right.
But if it turns from, hey, I want to help into how do I sell shit to you? Mm-hmm. That's when I get pissed off. That's when I think I get really frustrated. I think a perfect example of how to do it right. Mm-hmm. I sat down, Sivan and I sat down, she's over at a company, Onuxia. They're actually building like a CISO, like a proper portal for us. In other words, my first stop in the morning is the BBC, closely followed by a spreadsheet that the team puts out for me to see what's going on in the world. This would actually, in some ways, replace one, if not both of those. Mm-hmm. So she's like, hey, I need to pick your brain. And, you know, instantly, number one, I know her and I know her background. She's done the CISO thing. So the barrier comes down a bit because she's been there, done that, and she gets it. And she's a no BS person, which is actually fantastic. But it's still up there because I've had too many of these, hey, I want to pick your brains that have turned into, and I need to sell you shit. Mm-hmm. But it was fucking fantastic because it was, we spent like an hour talking. It was meant to be half hour. I spent an hour talking. And it was almost like, hey, this is where I'm at. We're about one quarter to one third away from building this. So it's still fucking, it's not vaporware, but it sure as hell isn't finished well. Mm-hmm. Here's where we're at. Here's what we're doing. Here's what we're thinking. Here's where we need to pick your brain. And that was what it was. It was a brain picking session. And I'm like, yes, because it was like a design partner session. And that was fantastic. And so there was truth there. There was integrity there. And to me, great. Now that you're starting to build a foundation that I can still help with, and we're going to catch up in blackout for like half hour, 30 minutes, and just grab a cup of tea. That to me is the right, that's integrity.
Yeah.
But again, this is somebody who's sat inside these shoes and is now on the other side. She's doing basically what I've done a couple of times, which is I'm like, fuck it, I'm done with this, and go out and build a company. Then you still got to learn how to sell shit with ethics. And then you're like, okay, I'm done with this. And then you come back onto this side of the fence again.
Right.
You know, and so I absolutely appreciate it. Again, when it's done ethically, when it's done with somebody, if they'll, or they're upfront, they're like, hey, look, I've got this product. I'd love to pick your brains, but I also would love to see if it's fitting for you. At least then I can make that decision to go in there and go, hey, you got 30 minutes on a Friday, and I know if it's a, you know, that side of it. I think it's, I don't know.
I like that. What you mentioned, have been in my shoes, or have been in the role, the shoes of that role. What can sales and marketing folks do to try and fit in those shoes or be in those shoes, at least temporarily? Because I don't know if they want to do it long term, but
nobody wants to do this fucking job long term.
My question is, like, what can they learn to kind of relate more?
That's a tough one, because first and foremost, you've got to have the mindset to want to learn. So I think that's a big one. Again, the individual that came back to me and sent me that LinkedIn, sent me the response that they sent me was, I have to try one more time. That to me is somebody who probably isn't likely to learn or doesn't want to. As far as they're concerned, they are sales and that's all they want to do, or they are sales and why should they learn what works on this side of the fence? Somebody who, the person that offered me the whiskey in response for time, who then was like, oh shit, I actually didn't mean anything by it. I wanted to value your time. Great. Here's how you value my time. And they were like, great, let me do some research and I'll come back to you. I'm like, great. That's somebody who wants to learn. That's somebody who's going to go away and maybe go talk to their own IT folks. Is maybe going to go sit with their own, and maybe go fucking ask your own CISO, hey, talk to me about your day. Almost every single one of these companies, every single one of these people, every single one of these fucking salespeople has a CISO. Go talk to your own CISO and go, hey, I need to shadow you, or I want to shadow you for half a day, a quarter of a day, for an hour every week for the next month and a half. This is actually an interesting one. I bet, well, first and foremost, half those CISOs will now cuss me out, but fucking suck it up. You know, it's part of our job. I have people shadowing me every now and again. But I think this is, one of those things where you can't necessarily sit in these shoes, but the best you can do is go, we do the same thing. I've got somebody inside Boom that wants to learn how IT and InfoSec. I'm like, well, then come fucking shadow. Come sit with us. Come hang out with us. Come spend time with us and learn. You know, I got you. I'll go cover your manager. And then Ty was like, he's like, yeah, go have at it. I'm like, brilliant. Thank you. Because again, it's career progression eventually. Right. But for me, if you're doing sales or you're doing business development or you're doing outreach stuff on this one, to me, this is one of those ones where if your target is a CISO, then go fucking sit with the CISO of your own company. And don't tell me you can't pick up the phone to them. Don't tell me they're a C-suite and you feel the block. You fucking pick up the phone to me and you try and call me and there's no difference. So go fucking talk to your own CISO. That, I think, would be the first thing to do. Or go sit with your IT team. Go sit on the very knock and sock that you're trying to sell me. Spend half a fucking day there every week for the next month. And learn exactly what. So let me flip this around. So I worked at Limited Brands for a while. And the very first thing we did was go work in the store for a week. You know, I came in as, you know, senior on the security side of the world. And my job was fixing, making sure the underwear fucking website stayed up. Apparently, I remember the phone call, an inbound phone call going, hey, you know, it's Limited Brands. I'm like, who? Yeah. No girlfriend. They're like, well, we run this store called Victoria's Secrets. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And they're like, well, we need, you know, we have challenges. I'm like, all right, so what the fuck are you calling me? They're like, because they're expensive challenges. And I'm like, it's a fucking website with underwear. How expensive can it be? And they're like, it's a multi-billion dollar website. I'm like, oh, that would explain it.
Oh, yeah.
And so the first thing they make you do is they make you work in the store.
Yeah.
And I think there are other companies that do the same thing. I think even I remember talking with like Red Robin or somebody years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think there was the same thing. I think the first like week or first month, you go work in the store. Mm-hmm. And I think anybody in sales and marketing probably needs to go do the same thing. You know, and for Boom, you know, Boom's good because we all get to see engineering, mechanical, and everything else. But I do think maybe once a year we should probably go work around that fucking airplane. Although I don't think they want us working around the airplane. Maybe we can go carry screwdrivers for a week and smell jet fuel. But I think it's one of those.
I love that feedback and recommendation. Some of my most creative campaigns came from sitting with security researchers. Because those people are freaking creative. They are.
Oh yeah.
They are curious folks.
You have to. Yeah.
So that to me was the highlight of my career, is just sitting with security researchers and labs teams and really like geeking it out, learning about their world.
And so let me caveat this, because if I start getting fucking outreach sales meetings like, hey, I just love to learn more about you and your company, I'm gonna kill you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get hold of your calendar and I'm going to set you up with a meeting with your fucking CISO, because that's the work you do in the background.
Right.
Don't reach out to me and go, hey, I'd love to learn more about you and your role at Boom. No, go learn it from your own CISO. Go learn it from your own teams and then come to me and go, hey,
yeah.
I just figured out what the fuck it means to be a CISO. I empathize. I'll share a glass of whiskey with you. And here's how maybe we can help reduce some of the probabilities and issues and challenges you have.
So I think to sum it up, we could even like create a series, because we talked about different topics that help kind of prescriptively approach this to understand this. So,
yes.
So
yeah.
Number one, I would start by re-listening to this episode, episode 25, go back to episode 22, then listen to episode 23 and 24. That, remember, we talked about maturity. We talked about doing OSINT. Yes. So we literally like set up the process to doing it.
I mean, that's the stupid thing about it. I think that, again, this is one of those things. And now I will say there are a couple of people that have hit me up and said, hey, I've watched the episodes. I'm learning. I'm going to do it better. I'm like, great. I appreciate, believe me, every CISO out there's going to, every fucking, anybody you attack is going to appreciate it. So I do think maybe you and I can get our heads together and maybe, to your point, prescriptively figure this shit out in a way where we can literally nail it to a few people's heads.
To take a re-listen to those episodes and create a guide.
Yeah. That's
it. All right. I want to bring on Clark, because he has a question for you, and we have literally 10 minutes left. I want to keep it close to under an hour. So let's bring on Clark. He has something interesting to ask. Clark, what is up?
How's it going, everybody? Chris, how are you?
Hey, good. How you doing?
Doing quite well. Okay, so Danny and I were talking about this, and I had a question for you specifically about new ways in which you're being approached, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if we look at it like things being added to the attack surface, like the relationship between vendor and buyer, that's kind of at the forefront now. It's being talked about more and more and more. So
yes,
have you been approached in a way where the self-aware sales rep or BDR or whoever goes with that angle and says, hey, I know, I'm aware that there's a strained relationship there, and like uses that as their exploit?
No.
Like, I'm not one of the bad ones. You should trust
me. No. No. I've had a couple of people, a handful of people that have approached me by going, hey, I've watched Danny and I've watched you and I've listened to the show and I've seen some of your posts, and could we grab a cup of coffee? Could we grab a cup of tea? Could we do something like that? I've had a couple of those, and I'm actually thankful for them. Now, that challenge then becomes, how quickly do they revert back to type? Mm. And that's where it gets really interesting. Again, I had one the other day that started off with the, hey, you know, I've listened. And then literally, like, I mean, that was the first paragraph. And the second fucking paragraph was, and let me explain about my company. I'm like, right. You motherfucker.
Right. They ran out of script.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but there have been a couple, and I mean, it's one handful or less, that have like, hey, I watched and I've listened, and I'd love to learn. I'd love to do it the right way. But I mean, it's few and far between at the moment. But I think you're right. I'm seeing more and more people. There was a fantastic, somebody, somebody copied me on an absolutely fantastic, Danny, it might have been you or it might have been somebody else. It was a freaking fantastic, somebody else on LinkedIn almost did like a little YouTube, TikTok-y kind of short on like, hi, insert name here, da-da-da-da, insert. Fucking hilarious. It was absolutely brilliant. I loved it and it was perfect. So there are more and more people that are starting to call this out. And I think actually there are more companies that are becoming aware that we've run out of patience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And that's one of the things that like, that's what I see being the next evolution of outreach and the language that's being used is how do you go from a very strained relationship to a more self-aware presence when you're trying to do outreach or just make some sort of connection? Where does it go from here, knowing that everybody else is now on that same play? They went from all saying the same thing in one way to now they're all going to say the exact same thing in a totally different way.
So I think I think we hit the nail, which is I want to see who's doing it from a script versus who's actually doing it from the heart or the head. I mean, either one, I can deal with a heart or a head. I want to see somebody who goes, hey, I watched the show and when time is convenient, I would love to grab a tea or coffee. I understand it's typically Friday afternoons. You're a CISO, you're busy, DEF CON's coming up. It's probably going to be end of August, September.
Right.
Do you fancy catching up then? That means they've listened, they've learned, they've understood, and they've now realized. And then at the same time, I don't get added to a spam list. I don't get a message on my fucking LinkedIn and my email. You know, that there's a level of respect that they know. And I get a message a week before going, hey, just a heads up, are you still okay to catch up, you know, next week on that Friday? Sure. That I think is somebody that's listening and learned versus somebody who's like, hey, I listened, I learned, and I've run out of script, and here's my company.
Right.
I think it's, you know, to Danny's point, I mean, we're literally giving not just a script. I think you're right. People could just do it and follow a script. And I think that's going to be just as easy to spot as all the stupid shit that I've called out. I realized I've done a couple of posts this last week that are a little feisty. And there's some stuff that's going on at Boom that caused that, shall we say. There are some changes and I'm feeling a little spicy and feisty. And I think I've called out in these last couple of weeks, like there have been two decent posts that have called out like, hey, this is generic, this is generic, this is generic, this is bullshit. This is what I think when I see this.
Right.
And so I think it's people who can be genuine and honest as humans, like we are, we're talking versus I have a script, I'm going to cut and paste it. I'll change the first sentence because that's my change. My middle sentence is about me. My after sentence is about the company. And here's my calendar link. I think no matter how much, there's still a prescriptive way that these things get spicy, Chris, exactly. There's still, I'm looking at the comments in here, it's terrible, fucking squirrels. I think there's still a way of identifying that stuff.
Yeah, I think it all goes back to something that we as marketers often forget. Like, we spend so much time on personas and forget that we're marketing to actual human beings.
Yes. In fact, that's probably a good way of doing it. I was watching, I like my cars. So there's a YouTube channel called Throttle House. It's kind of like the new version of basically Top Gear. They're fucking awesome. They had it perfectly. They just did a review of the 2024 Mustang and they had the GT5 liter there. And they were like, this car has been designed by demographic committee. And they've gone out and asked a whole bunch of people, hey, what do you like? Well, we like screens. So they put more fucking screens in.
Yeah.
Well, we like this. So they've put this in. And rather than going out to your point and going, hey, these are all humans. These are, you know, oil covered, spanner wielding humans that we're dealing with at the end of the line. Therefore, we have to approach them that way. Rather than going, well, our key demographic is this company with this size and there's this. But no. We be fucking humans.
Right. I think that's one of the main ways you could, and I know, like with as much cold outreach as you get, I'm sure you're able to just instantly tell, okay, you know what you're doing or you have no idea what you're doing.
Well, and I think that's, I go through my spam folder, not just for this, but because occasionally there's one or two. Yeah. Occasionally there's something in there that hits. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I mean, you can, that first sentence, second sentence is just done. And it is tough because this comes back and somebody's like, well, how do we change it? I'm like, mm-hmm. it needs to be changed from the top. It needs to be, Danny says it the same thing. It's got to be quality over quantity. And until business development, sales, marketing, the investors, the VC, the funds, the company itself goes, I don't need you to make 100 phone calls. I need you to make 10 quality calls. I need those calls to last a couple of minutes each, but I need you to have spent 30 minutes researching and a couple of minutes on the phone call. If you do that 10 times today, you're going to be a hell of a lot better off than doing 100 of this fucking dollar for dollar shit.
How much are you seeing, how much of that are you seeing in phone calls versus emails?
I don't see, this phone, this is the fucking irony of phone calls these days. This phone is permanently on silent. It has RoboKiller in front of it, and it's set that if I don't have the number in here, it goes straight to voicemail or straight to RoboKiller. It's gotten that fucking bad between this and your car needs a new maintenance plan shit, between, and especially this, it's gotten so bad that this has now become nigh on useless for inbound calls.
I suppose that was kind of a loaded question, because the reason I asked is I wonder how surprised we are at times when we can actually get an email to hit your inbox at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why I think LinkedIn has become much more of that mine, gold mine, whatever you want to call it, because
the canary in the coal mine. Yeah.
So many of us are on it and so many of us use it. I mean, it's, you know, I use my LinkedIn to vent. I use it for cathartic reasons. I also use it, let's be very honest, I mean, some point I'm going to be hunting for another job. So if I don't have myself out there, people will never necessarily know. So it is definitely another one of those where it gets used. Now that makes me a target, obviously. But again, if somebody's done their research, they've done their outreach, the chances are that target will actually hit more effectively than the cut, paste, call it Chris crap.
Yeah. It's on this side of the fence, you know, we're often not even to the point where we're fully addressing the actual messaging. We're still worried about tactics, and we have to remember things like, you're not going to hit their inbox. You know, you can go scrape a thousand, 10,000, 100,000 email addresses off Zoom Info all you want to. One, those are not going to be correct. And even if they were, like, you're never going to hit their actual inbox. And you know, you guys, our buyers are world-class experts at instructing people how not to fall for things being clicked on in an email. Like, why do we think that would work?
And I think that's where it gets interesting. That's and it's tough, because again, you've got revenue models to hit, all this other stuff. That's where the ones I'm seeing now is like, hey, I'm doing a round table and there's only 7 seats and we'd love you to be one of them. I'm like, and how many thousand people did you send that 7 seats out to? I like the round table idea, but I also like the friends and family thing. I think to me, it comes back to community. Somebody hit me up the other week and said, how could we get into see more buyers? I'm like, go sponsor a B-Sides. Fuck RSA. Investment. Go spend 1/10 of that, or go spend your 100,000 at 20 different B-sides.
Right.
$5,000 B-sides. You get a gold level, probably platinum for fucking $5,000 at the B-sides. The community sees you. We see you. You get the kudos. You get an in. You get conversation. And we start to love you a little bit more, because now you're actually caring about the people.
Right. There's so much to be said. And I think this is coming to light a little, you know, more and more as we start to talk about it and actually bring it to life. Yeah. Like, how often are you surprised that practitioners don't get more attention as opposed to CISOs?
You know, when I came up as a practitioner, it was very frustrating because I couldn't, you know, ironically, you'd be practitioner talking to the SE. And the salespeople would talk to the CISO, and the geeks would talk to each other. It's fucking hilarious. Now, most of the time now, if I get a salesperson, they know well enough to bring their SE with them, because it's pretty obvious I'm still a fucking geek, for crying out loud. So to their credit, and the times it doesn't happen is when I have a problem. You got a blackout, same thing. You get one layer or two layers deep into questioning and everybody be fucked, because most of the people on that booth have no clue what's going on. I'm like, get me somebody who knows. Yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, I think they spend too long going after CISOs and not enough time basically.
Oh, I can tell you firsthand we do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, those four letters are seen as just the holy grail, and we forget, like, who's actually going to be using
them? I'm not a holy grail. I'm not a fucking holy grail, believe me. I'm a hot mess.
Something to hit up Gary with on the manifesto.
Yeah.
He just hit us up.
Oh my gosh, definitely.
It's not only about the CISO.
We need to keep this conversation going, but I'm also acutely aware that we've hit the top of the hour.
We hit
and
the top
I
of the hour.
I actually have a meeting I have to attend to as well. Clark, we should keep this meeting. I would love to keep this meeting going. If you can make another one of these, let's start this earlier and keep this going, because this is fucking awesome.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. We'll put something on the books. Yeah. It was great talking to you, man. I've been wanting to chat for forever. And Danny, thanks for the info.
I like this. I love the back and forth. This is how it should be. This is freaking awesome. So I hugely appreciate the time. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you, Clark.
Same to you.
Cool.
All right. Last thoughts before we sign off.
More of that.
More of this.
More of that. I mean, just sitting down and having that conversation, it was, I mean, that was just perfect. That we need more of that. I love that.
Which is my request to all of you folks out there listening to live now and on the recording. If there's somebody who needs to come on the show or listen in on the show, share the link, bring them on, drag them by the ear to listen to us banter. This is what it's about, is the open conversations and the back and forth. So refer a friend is what we're asking. We would love more folks to come on. How do we scale this, the visibility of this podcast? Help us out. Send links to folks, send links to the website, send links to me or Chris. We're happy to personally invite them over too.
Cool.
All right. This has been an awesome episode today. I love this. Super good. Love the format. Love all of you who support this mission. This has been another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. We